Are you tired of being told what to think and how to act? Well, you are not alone. In case you haven't realized it, you have an internal GPS. It knows all you need to know about how to live your life. So it's about time you stopped letting the media and the government tell you what is true for you. In fact, it is exactly that time. It's time to think for yourself. And here to make sure you're doing just that is your host, mediator, author, and lawyer, Carol Gold.
Hi, it's Wednesday, April 14th. I'm Carol Gold, and welcome to the podcast. This past weekend, I participated in a holistic fair here in Texas. I had a booth where I did spiritual readings, which is one of the ways that I utilize the intuitive gifts that I have been given in my life, as I often talk about. And a curious thing happened. I was asked to speak from the stage before the event actually began. And in thinking about what I wanted to say, I had told the organizer that I would give a message of hope, that I would speak for 10 minutes and provide a message of hope. And in preparing for that message of hope, I went round and round about several subjects and ways that I could give that message. Ultimately, when I stood up to speak, I said two things to start off the speech. One was that hope is never lost, it's only misplaced. And the second thing was that I know this because I had tried to commit suicide when I was in my 20s. And that was one of the lessons that I took away from that attempted suicide. I wondered at the time what prompted me to talk to a group of people who had come for a weekend holistic and crafts fair about suicide. I would think it was the last thing that those people sitting in the audience expected to hear from a basically metaphysical, spiritual presentation. But I went on anyway, and I gave the presentation, and I put it all in context of spiritual gifts and meaning of life, etc. But it still plagued me a bit why I had suddenly, at the moment that I began to speak, changed the approach that I was going to take and instead spoke about suicide. But in the last 48 hours, 72 hours actually, it has become very clear to me why I was prompted to do that. The first indication came on Monday morning when I happened to be listening to the radio talk host Glenn Beck. Now, regardless of what you may think of him, because I know he's a controversial figure, I want to just focus in on what he said on Monday. Apparently, the prior week, he had been off air all week, something I didn't know because I don't listen to him regularly. But what he went on to explain was that at 11:30 on Sunday night, the prior Sunday, his wife had walked into their bedroom holding her cell phone and she collapsed on the floor. Apparently, she had just gotten a call from her mother, who was hysterical, that Glenn Beck's wife's 40-something-year-old brother had committed suicide. He had organized everything his wife needed to know about their finances, and he had left instructions and paperwork and messages for her and their four small children. And then he went to his office, and with a gun, he put it to his head, and he killed himself. I listened in detail to what a wonderful person he had been, giving, serving the community, serving his church. Everyone who knew him liked him. He had never, ever failed to provide help when someone needed it. And although he suffered from Crohn's disease, he was apparently someone who rarely, if ever, indicated he was in pain or uncomfortable, and Crohn's can be a very difficult illness to live with. He was simply a good-hearted, outgoing, seemingly happy person. And it was very hard to listen to the explanation of a life well-lived and then so tragically and violently ended. And then yesterday, around dinner time, I got a call from a good friend of mine who, for the last couple days, and this is someone I speak to almost on a daily basis, for the last couple of days had told me that everything was okay in her life and her husband's life. And then she called last night to tell me that on Sunday they had gotten some bad news and that she hadn't shared it, but she was sharing it now. And that news was that her granddaughter, who was in her late 20s, was dating a young man. They had broken up. They had gotten back together recently. The young man was very liked by the family. And on Sunday night, for reasons we don't yet know, he came to the granddaughter's apartment. We don't know if they had an argument. We don't know what happened. But he pulled out a gun and he killed himself, shot himself in the head right in front of her. She was splattered with blood. She tried to stop the bleeding as she called 911, and he died. She is now in a hospital on suicide watch. She is so traumatized from what happened. And so it has come to me why on Sunday, out of nowhere, I chose to talk to a bunch of people who had come for a happy Sunday afternoon fair to buy crafts and crystals and other metaphysical things, to talk to them about suicide. As I have mentioned on many other shows, have written about for decades and decades, I myself at age 24 had tried to kill myself. And what led to that was probably all the years up until then that I had lived with depression, untreated, unrecognized, unacknowledged, kept to myself, manifested in a lot of physical illness, things doctors could never find, you know, a really medical cause for. And it was all really caused by two things. My depression, which I like to say was caused by my spiritual misalignment, meaning that when you are disconnected from power greater than yourself, and when you lack self-worth because of that and other conditions that exist in your physical life, you are in spiritual misalignment. And that allows and leads to expressions, actually intake and expression of energy, I like to say, of negative energy that causes you to see the world in a twisted and warped and unreal manner. And so as we have gone through a horrific year of the COVID pandemic, and not the pandemic in and of itself, but the way it's been handled and the way it continues to be handled, the incredible fear that it has capped off. And I say capped off because prior to the pandemic, people were frightened already. They were frightened of an economy that was erratic at best. They were frightened of a culture that was collapsing. They were frightened for two generations that feel afloat with no future, that think that there's maybe no reason to live, and frightened by even older generations who are watching their financial situation move in a direction that they never believed at this stage of their lives they could find themselves in. We have been primed for fear for quite some time. And fear makes you do literally insane things, because that is the point of fear. It is meant to disconnect you from reality. It is meant to cause you to feel helpless and hopeless. It has one goal, and that is to rob you of your autonomy, of your sense of self, of your belief in yourself, of your belief in a power greater than yourself. And that's where we are. Where we are is a very dangerous place. It's why we are turning a blind eye and a deaf ear to the things that are being done by government, by corporations, that are destroying this country in so many ways from so many directions. We're turning that blind eye and that deaf ear because we ourselves are frightened and overwhelmed. And that's been the goal all along. And whether you are secular and believe that it's some kind of government and private sector plan, or even global plan, to take over the world, or whether you are religious and you just call it the force of evil, I don't care what you call it. All of us need to stop denying what it is. Giving it a name is not nearly as important as standing up against it, as saying, I will not comply. I will not allow this to happen to me, to my family, to my community. I will not be silent in the face of deception. I will not refuse to speak the truth. I will not wear a mask if I don't believe it is scientifically helpful and there is no basis for it. Further, I will not wear a mask when it has been not legally mandated. You can't mandate away a person's natural right to breathe. You can't force them when there's no law, because as a lawyer, I can tell you, in order to take away a fundamental right and even a natural right, you need what's called a compelling state interest under the Constitution. And there's been no compelling state interest that has been proven by the use of the wearing of masks and distancing 6 feet that has any scientific basis in dealing with curbing or stopping the coronavirus or any other virus at this point. And so without a compelling state interest, there can be no law. Well, there's been no law. These are government mandates by governors, by even the President of the United States. These are unenforceable. They are not laws. And what's happening is they are counting on your neighbors and other people that you encounter in public to shame you into wearing something so that you become another compliant person. That's just one example. There are so many examples. This morning there was an example, if you look online, of Nancy Pelosi and her husband having just traded and sold Microsoft stock for millions of dollars in advance of a public announcement where Microsoft has received a contract for multiple millions of dollars. They are trading on insider information. If you did it, if I did it, we would be in jail. My podcast today is a little longer than usual, and it isn't about politics. I'm not here to wave that flag this morning. I'm here because suicide and depression are true national crises, as is our border. But most importantly, it's that suicide and depression are being put on a back burner when in fact they are the front burner symptom of a deep societal and cultural problem. You know, the government even knows it because they've now created Reach.gov. And Reach.gov is where you call if you need someone to talk to because you're panicked or depressed or anxious about your state of mind and the state of your life. It's basically a federally manifested suicide hotline. I want to talk to those of you out there who know someone who's depressed, and I want to talk to those of you who are depressed. If you know someone who is depressed, I will tell you a couple of things. One, there are some people who, no matter what you do, will succeed at attempted suicide. When that happens, and if that happens to someone you know or someone in your family or someone you care about, as tragic as it will be and as awful as you will feel, there is nothing you could have done, because there are people who will, unfortunately, and I use this word ironically, succeed at that, no matter what intervention occurs. But I want to talk to you about the people that you do sense are having a problem, especially young people who you see lost and searching with all kinds of outreaches to the wrong kinds of people in the wrong direction. Those are people who, if you don't know what else to do, get them to a hospital. Get them to a hospital, because a hospital will know what to do. As they did with my friend's granddaughter this weekend, when the police arrived at the scene where he had committed suicide, the police called a counselor, and the counselor spoke to the granddaughter and realized that she was herself at risk for suicide, and so they took her to a hospital. It's no place she wants to be. It's no place her family wants her to be. But there, at least, temporarily, she will get the short-term support and help that will prevent her from doing something radical to herself and destructive to herself in the immediate aftermath of her having been traumatized by watching something so violent. Get them help. Reach out. Listen to them. Don't bother telling them to cheer up and everything will be okay. That's the most meaningless and actually harmful thing you can do. When someone is so depressed that they are contemplating dying, and you tell them to cheer up, believe me, they've tried. I know. They've tried everything they know to fit in, to make it work, to lift themselves up. Suicide isn't anyone's first choice. It's their last choice. So be there for them. Listen to them. Show empathy for them. Try to meet them and reach them at the level that they are at in the moment. Don't try to turn it into something light and easily dismissed, and then get them the help they need any way you can do it. To those of you who are depressed, to those of you who are contemplating suicide, let me talk to you not as a lawyer, not as a mediator, not as a social worker, but as an attempted suicide survivor. I remember that night I was visiting a friend, and she had just gotten good news, as did her mother. And so they were very happy. And as I spent some time with them and saw how happy they were, I realized how unhappy I had become and how I had tried every way I knew to fit in and to make a life for myself. And in that moment, I had the realization that I finally knew how to end the suffering. I knew how to end the pain. If I just went home and took the pills that had been given to me by a physician for depression. So I did that. I said goodnight. I drove home. I was relieved and almost happy for the first time in as long as I could remember, because I had an answer. So I went home. I took the pills. I took two bottles of pills. I put a pot of tea on the stove. I laid down on the sofa. I kissed my dog goodbye and I went to sleep. In my case, there were some intervening events. When I look back, those intervening events were God. The pot of tea I had put on the stove boiled out of water, and it went on fire. So my kitchen was on fire. But at the same time that happened, my then ex-husband phoned my sister and said he thought there was something wrong with me because someone had tried to call me and I made no sense when I picked up the phone. And that person called my ex-husband, who then called my sister, who then called the police. The fire department and the police arrived at almost the same time, broke down the door, and took me to the emergency room. In the emergency room, I had an out-of-body experience. I was up in the corner of the emergency room, and I was watching them work on her, as it seemed to me. I wasn't there any longer. I was up in the corner. And I remember thinking, why are all those tubes in her, and why are they doing all that to her, and why don't they let her go? And in that moment when I had that perception, something else happened. I heard a voice say, you have to go back. You have work to do. And then I felt a punch, it seemed like, in the middle of my back. And in that instant that I felt that impact in my spine, I was no longer up in the corner. I was back in my body, looking up at a doctor who was standing over me saying, Carol, Carol, can you hear me? Carol. I call that my birthday because it was from that day on that I began to live a different kind of life, caring much less about what the world around me was doing or what they thought of me, what other people thought of me, of what kind of daughter or sister or friend or student I was being. From that day on, I began to think about what I wanted to do with my life, how I wanted to live, who I wanted to be, what I valued, what I saw as truth, what I saw as untruth. And it changed me forever. But I learned this also. What drove me to that moment was that I thought hope was lost. And when you think hope is lost and you think that nothing will change, there is no reason to go on. You lose the reason to live. But the reality is that everything changes. Everything is in a constant state of change. Nothing stays the same. We may not see it in the time frame that we wish, but it's happening anyway. Sometimes more slowly and sometimes more rapidly, but it's always in a constant state of change. So if you retain hope, then you know that you can get through the rough stuff because change will come. And that is the biggest lesson I can leave you with. If you're down, if you're depressed, if you're contemplating dying as an answer, I can tell you that the best part of my life, that my life has been worth every single minute of every up and every down since the day I tried to die and fortunately was unsuccessful. Is it all great after that? No. There are good days and not so good days. Have I been depressed since then? Absolutely. Depression is a condition I've lived with my entire life and still do on occasion. But I can assure you of this. No matter how depressed I get, I never think about taking my own life. Because the experiences I have had, the life I have had, the blessings I have had, and the suffering and the lessons that it has taught me that I have had since that attempt are things and events and people I would never give up and would never have traded in for death. So, hang in there, not literally, and I don't mean to be glib. Hang in there, stay the course, trust in God. Trust that you are connected to God. Trust that you are going to get the help you need. You are going to get the support you need. Trust that you can climb out one rung at a time out of the darkness and the hole that you think you are in the moment, and that somewhere up that ladder is daylight. And when you see it, when you feel it, when it permeates your body and touches your heart, you will know that there is nothing better to do than live your life with all its high points and all its low points and find out why you were born, what you are here for, and then make that contribution. Because the one thing I can assure you is that you were born with a purpose and the world needs you now. God bless. Thank you for listening to the podcast. And by the way, if you are in that state, my book, The Questions God Will Ask, Prepping for the Final Exam, available on Amazon and elsewhere, and my website, carolgold.com, carolegold.com, is what you need to read right now to keep you on track every day, moving up that ladder, rung by rung, until the daylight warms your body, your heart, and your soul. I love you, and I want you to stay on the planet. And until I'm back here again on Friday, especially now, believe that you can think for yourself. I'm Carol Gold.
Carol thanks you for spending your valuable time with her. It is her mission to empower you to remember how smart and capable you are. Be sure to check out Carol's website, carolgold.com. That's Carol with an E, gold.com. Please leave a review and subscribe here so you'll be alerted to Carol's next podcast. Until then, above all else, remember, it's time to think for yourself.